Hello, my name is Debbie Ficaro from New York, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship Radio. It's such a blessing to have access to sound doctrinal teaching 24 hours a day.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, titled, Jesus Born Under Mosaic Law. This is part 2 of 2.
All right, begin. Verse 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed, and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. Verse 3, And in the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So it says 2 turtles there. It's talking about turtle doves. Just FYI. Turtle. That is the basis for the rest of our text, right there. So if you're not, I just have to say this as your pastor, teacher, if you're not reading through the whole Bible, as you can see, there's a reason why a lot of preachers skip the text for study this morning. They're not familiar. They don't even sometimes understand the connection that's under the law. And so you have to understand the Old Testament in order to understand much of the New. And that's why there's so much nonsense being taught in pulpits today and have been throughout church history. So back to Luke chapter 2, 21, and we'll come back to Leviticus 12 a couple times in the next few minutes as we close up. Verse 21 says that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So this was a major family event, especially Olivia, but even with a female child. You would go to the temple, and this would be a big day. And so if we were under the Mosaic law, and I was Moses, and this was the temple, then Charlie and Olivia, on the 8th day after Ezra's birth, would have brought Ezra in to be circumcised, and it would have been a baby name reveal party. For 8 days, Jenny would have been bugging Charlie.
What are you going to name it?
How long did it take you? Like 4 days?
2 days?
It took the whole time.
Yeah.
We couldn't decide on a boy name or a girl name.
You didn't have to wait 8 days.
No.
But under this system, it would be on the 8th day, you'd have what you could call at the temple a baby name reveal party. And in this case, we are told that his name is Jesus. In their case, Charlie would have stood up and said, His name shall be called Ezra. And then he would have told you, I have no idea what Ezra actually is in the Bible. I have to go back and read it, but we just think the name's cool. It is a cool name. But I pick on all of you. I've been picking on the All Balls last week, and I picked on them when they weren't even here. Hey, I'm Stephen and Mariah. I'm working my way around. So verse 22 and 23 then says, and when the days of her purification, look at that, that's talking about Mary, the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written, and this is what we just read in Leviticus 12. How many people will read this text and they'll say, as it is written, and they won't think, oh, I wonder where it's written. That's a cue. Anytime you're reading through the New Testament, it says, as it is written, that tells you that's something in the Old Testament I need to look up. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So Mary and Joseph are law-abiding Jews. And keep that in mind throughout the Gospels. Mary and Joseph are law-abiding Jews. Jesus was born under law and fulfilled the law from his birth to his death. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Look over Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. You there? Read it with me. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There you go. What we're reading about is a child born under Mosaic law who happens to be the Son of God. First, note that this was for her purification, as I emphasized when we read it. Look at there. Sixth word in verse 22. And when the days of her purification. This is important. You ask, well, why was there a burnt and sin offering? Both. Because Mary's a sinner. The Roman Catholic Church lies and says that Mary was sinless. They offered a sacrifice for her sin and the uncleanness that comes from childbirth. When you give birth to a child, you give birth to a living thing, but there's a lot of other things. And that includes things that die and decay as soon as they hit the air, and you know, so it's a very unclean business. That's why I don't need to see other people's videos of the birth of their child. And back in like 1992 or 3, this was all brand new, but people started videotaping the childbirth. I expected it to be family friendly, and somebody had us over for dinner one day, and they're like, hey, you want to see this? The kid was like 6 or 7. You want to see his birth? I'm like, I guess I'm taking for granted that they know I don't want to see, you know, certain things. And whew, man, they put that on the TV, and it's like, oh, I got lightheaded. I didn't need to see all that. And
was that before or after you had kids?
That's before. But I've had kids, and I still don't want to see that from somebody else. Amen. So that's why there was this purification of the process, because of the process being what it is. But Jesus didn't need purifying. Jesus is sinless. There's no record of Jesus offering sacrifice. You know that? You realize how weird that is? True, but I want you to think about this. Between his birth and his death, he lives in Israel. Everybody else is offering sacrifice. And there's no record of him offering sacrifice. And you just think, how is it that no one kind of thought that was weird? Hey, Jesus, we're going up to offer sacrifice. Grab your lamb and come on. And what? He didn't tell everybody who he was until after he was like 30 years old. At that point, he'd say, I am the lamb. But before that, isn't that something to think about?
Great, there was the one time he paid the temple tax, but he was talking about how weird it was.
He obeyed all the laws, but he never offered a sacrifice for sin.
Right, yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. And Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And again, that's why the cults, we don't hate cults, we just hate their teaching. We hate their doctrine. Because they make Jesus less than God. And some even make him a sinner like you and me. The liberal churches around here, they don't think Jesus was divine. And they think he's just a very poetic, stellar example of a man. He was more than a man. And he was without sin. He didn't sin. He didn't need a sacrifice. He was without sin. So Luke 2:24 then says that she, Mary, is who we're talking about, says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this is the thought I want to close up with. Because this would appear to tell us that the, I put in quotes, holy family, because the Bible doesn't actually call them that, but we think, you know, all the Christmas cards and everything here, we talk about the holy family. Jesus was holy. The rest of the family needed saved. But they were poor. And everything about Bible Jesus, everything about him contradicts religion. And when you see the Pope and the head of the Orthodox offshoots, and you see the people who head up the even the Protestant denominations, and they have these big meetings, and they all get all dressed up and eat in these really fancy places and spend a lot of money to go to resort towns and all that kind of thing. Just not the thing Jesus did. And his family was poor. Later on we'll see, he said, I don't even have a place to lay my own head. He didn't own two or three multi-million dollar homes like the TV preachers and preacheresses. And he didn't make $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year like most of the denominational ministers in this country. It's just amazing people would call themselves Christian but be so non-Christian, un-Christian, anti-biblical. Leviticus 5:7 explains, and if he be not able to bring a lamb, see that? You either have to believe Joseph and Mary were dirt poor or they were crooked. And I don't think they were crooked. They weren't able to bring a lamb to offer. Then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord. One for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. As we saw earlier. And there's the cute little things, two turtle doves and a partridge. Or two young pigeons. Now, you see how cute that is. And they would do? They would wring the neck off that thing and then drip the blood. And then the burnt offering, they'd offer the entire bird and consume the whole thing. And you think, oh, such a cute little bird being sacrificed by the hundreds of thousands at a time. You know who was more precious than that? Jesus. And when Jesus died, he was without sin. So your precious, lovely Jesus died because you and I are so wicked.
Amen.
Adam Clark in his commentary said, quote, this is a proof that the Holy Family were not in affluence. Jesus sanctified the state of poverty, which is the general state of man, by passing through it. Therefore, the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and the poor are they who principally receive it. That's why there's so much apostasy in America today. Because of prosperity, Americans are rejecting the Christ who saves those who are poor in spirit. Americans are the most proud, arrogant, self-loving people who ever existed in human history. Now we can take the worst sin possible, perverting the sex act, and they will have yearly pride parades in every major and non-major cities all over this country, shaking their fist at God. And this generation is bootlicking the sodomites like no other generation of Christians before.
Yeah.
Two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord. And look, it says one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Why two? The burnt offering was a general sacrifice for sin. The sin offering was obligatory sacrifice for purification of uncleanness, as we discussed a moment ago. And that's how great the sacrifice of Jesus is. One sacrifice. It's actually five sacrifices. These are two that took place on this occasion. But all of those sacrifices had purposes. National sins, and then particular sins that you commit, and that sort of thing. Jesus shed His blood in one sacrifice, paid for the sins of the whole world. All sins of all form.
Amen.
You sin daily and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
You commit sin daily and aren't even conscious of it. And then you sin and are conscious of it. See, that's why these two plus others are needed under a system of law, under a system of sacrifice. And so you see Jesus being carried by Mary and Joseph, going up to the temple, handing the priest the two turtle doves or pigeons that they brought. And the priest would wring the neck off and sprinkle the blood, and then up on the altar of sacrifice, he would walk up to that altar and offer those birds as a covering. Didn't wash the sin away, it was a covering. Sins weren't completely washed away until Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood.
Amen.
And that's when the covering was no longer needed and the sins were washed. God provides for the salvation of all sinners, rich or poor, great or small. You saw the Koch brother who died at the age of 79. By all appearances, a Christ-rejecting fool. How many people died this week that you know of and they rejected Jesus Christ? Bill Maher celebrated the death of the Koch guy because he hates his politics. Bill Maher is a Christ-rejecting Jew. And if he doesn't repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, Bill Maher is going to burn in hell. He shouldn't be celebrating the death of another man. He should be repenting of his own rejecting of Christ and his own sin and turn to the gospel. But you don't have to be that lewd and rude and nasty. You could be as sweet as pie. I could think, oh, the nicest person in the world. You're still a sinner. You still need to repent and believe that gospel so that your sins are washed by the blood. Listen, it's a really amazing thing that we take for granted all too often. We just take for granted. God is God, and we know that, so we just kind of go with it and don't think much about it. We ought to be so thankful that we serve and have the God we have. That He's not the God of these other religions. Thank God Allah is not real. He's horrible. Look at the other gods of the other religions. And you think of the ones that don't even have a personal God, you get stuck in this reincarnation, endless cycle. And all the Hindus understand how horrible it is. And these stupid Americans are saying, oh, I hope to be reincarnated as a frog. You know? It's horrible. And we are so blessed, not just because we believe in this God, but because He has shown Himself. We know that He is real. His Bible, His book, we have plenty of evidence to know we've got the God. How many times you see in the Bible where it says, He is the God? If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you got the God. And then we read in Psalm 8:4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You feel small. You feel ignored. You feel like no one cares for you. Join the club. A whole lot of people feel that way. But only because they're not allowing the truth of the gospel to really shine on them. You are better off than people who have more friends than they can count who then go to hell. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You'd be better off having very few friends. God has blessed you with a built-in friendship network called the local church. If Christians don't have friends and they have a good local church they can go to, shame on them. They're lonely by their own choice. God cares for you. God's not only saved you, but He's provided people to be your family, the family of God. Psalm 144:3 gets ignored a lot of times, but it says some similar thing. Lord, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that Thou makest account of him? How many times I thought, why does God even mess with us? Why does He even bother? Our only answer is because He's wonderful. That's our only answer.
Saving my soul. Thank you.